Blog Talk Radio.
The Spirit of God is in this place. The Spirit of God is strong in this place. I feel His anointing strong here. If you might have been expecting something, just open your spirit to receive. Whether you're watching us through the networks, open your spirit to receive. This song is entitled Holy Spirit.
You guide me,
you guide me,
holy.
Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit,
you open my eyes.
You have opened my eyes. You have opened my eyes. Holy Spirit, sing Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit.
Hallelujah, just give you praise wherever you are.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. God bless you on this September 8th, 2023. We are just zooming through the month. I'm going to get my book so we can get started and look at El's Toxic Trio. Thank you for joining us at Words from the Word at our Friday Fellowship of Learners. There's many things that we want to release today according to God's will for us so that we understand the race that we're in, that we understand the journey that we're on, and so that we can rejoice and be exceedingly glad, because God's got a plan. He has a plan, and he has already fulfilled the details of his plan. Though we're in chapter 3, the second half of chapter 3, looking at demonic partners and understanding the hierarchy of the spirit realm. And so we ended last week, the whole chapter started with showing us the hierarchy of heaven, showing us what we got to work with, work in, work as a part of, work as a member of, work team with the spirit realm. In the government of the kingdom of God, there are established roles. We're understanding that. We're learning about our roles, our responsibilities, and the ranks. There is not a random placement of people, but a strategic development of gifts, callings, and offices to lead and guide God's people. And so when you hear just that one statement, you know you're in the right place if you're in Labor for Christ, Word, Life Center, and Ministry. And the AEN, that is our goal. That is our theme. That is the mission and vision of all of the LFC ministries, is to establish apostolic and prophetically God's purpose, his will. God says he set in the church. And so it is those offices that are being acknowledged as part of the established roles, responsibilities, and ranks of the kingdom of God. So there is not a random or I don't know or however God wants me to use it. He has developed a strategy for our gifts. He's developed a strategy for our calling and our offices. And each one is unique. And we need to be aware of our gifts, our calling, and our offices in order for us to be the strong link in the kingdom of God that God intended for us to be. We are to lead and to guide God's people. So when we look at the scriptures, we are not just making this stuff up. It says, and God has set some in the church. First apostles, second prophets, thirdly teachers. After that, miracles were gifts of healing, helps, government, and diversity of tongues. That's 1 Corinthians 12:23. And if you've done anything in labors for Christ, you have definitely been led to that scripture. So the fact that God has set them there, he's fixed them there, he's placed them there, he's established them there. The Lord himself placed men and women in roles of divine leadership. When he establishes them in those roles, there is a measure of authority that is going to be granted or divine enablement released upon their lives to fulfill their calling, their gifts, their anointing, and the office in which they are to serve. So it's all done, and God's strategy for it is us. I heard a teaching somewhere, I can't remember where, but it said that apostolically and prophetically, we're covered. We are definitely establishing those offices. But the third office, thirdly teachers, is the office that is what's in the spotlight, if you will, during this particular season. And there is a reason for that. It is an exciting time where teachers are anointed to teach what heaven is requiring now. There's many things that are part of the kingdom of heaven, but there are things that are required now that we need through the ministry of the Holy Spirit who teaches us. We need to be able to, just that quick, we need to be able to release the revelation of where we are. So that's what teachers do. When prophet hears and releases it and the apostle sets it in place, the teacher has to communicate what it's supposed to look like now, in this now season. And that's a prophetic anointing of a teacher to take the word of God and the scriptures and apply them, not that you change them or modify them in any way, but apply them in such a way that the circumstances in our life are met spiritually by that truth and not by any truth, because there are many truths, but they're not always the truth you need, situations, and in specific ranks and roles and strategies. So there are some strategies that you might use to teach a child to walk, but you would use a different strategy to train an athlete to run. So, but it's still teaching this movement of going from one place to the other. But if you could just see the difference between teaching a baby to walk and teaching an athlete to run a race, And there's many things that are similar, but there are some things that are revelatory and necessary for the athlete to complete the calling on his life. So I hope you can see that transition. And I believe the author wants us to understand we can read a book, A Hell's Toxic Trio, not in fear or in trembling, but in revelation of knowing what God has already put in place to be victorious over this next set that we're going to talk about, which is the other side of the spirit realm. At the forefront of the government of God are two offices, and that's where he shows that apostles and prophets. Oh, so it was here. Okay. So we have in this ministry stressed that knowledge, stressed that teaching. There is a program going on currently at CCTI, the apostolic and the prophetic. And sometimes you may think, well, you know, this is overkill. But it isn't, because there's so many different aspects of it that we need to familiarize ourselves with so that we understand how we're being set in place for the kingdom of God. It says there are given apostles, are like generals. They're tasked with receiving and releasing revelation that pushes the body forward. They are given plans for regions, people, and nations. And so I need you to see that, because it's going to mirror on the other side what their assignment is. They are God's generals. Them, there are prophets. And God works on the earth through his Ecclesiastes. And I used to wonder, what is that? But that's his ruling government. That's the people that have been put in place. He had that have ranks, authority, and structure. He has released divine revelation, powerful anointing, and angelic assistance to get the job done on earth as it is in heaven. This is the goal, to release the kingdom of God on earth, to release the authority of the risen Christ on earth, subduing and overwhelming the power of hell. The Lord is mantling people who will fight against and overcome the powers of hell. He is mantling people. He is laying upon them his anointing to bring this about. It makes for such a clear picture of God's strategy on earth for this season that we're in. I keep having these thoughts that I keep forgetting. Okay, he releases divine revelation, and that's that portion that is to be a part of the prophetic and the teaching aspect. To release this divine revelation. That's something that wasn't known in that way before concerning this particular kind of situation and circumstances. Powerful anointings. This is where signs, wonders, and miracles are to follow us, because we're representing the kingdom of heaven. And then understand, we have an angelic assistance to get the job done on earth as it is in heaven. So to remember the goal of the Lord's plan is, he says, I have a plan, and we've memorized that, we said it, we warned it, preached it, sang it. and so we need to live by it. And now there's a fuller understanding that we're going to have. He has a plan for my life, and it fits in a bigger picture. And the more of this big picture he releases to us, the more clear his plan for us is. And so we see character as he has established and set in place in the church, these ranks and authorities and this structure, it is for a specific purpose. And then in Ephesians 6 and 12, we see what that purpose is. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness in the world, and against spiritual wickedness in high places. And then as we went through each one of the definitions of these things, we see the rank, the strategy, the scheme, and the seduction of the enemy. And we're talking about Jezebel. And so we're looking at the characteristics of Jezebel. We're looking at her, as they used to say, motive, M-O, a motive of operation. One of the questions or points to consider is, as a leader, have you been confronted by the operation of a Jezebel spirit on some level, on any level? Have you experienced its seduction drawing you away from kingdom purpose? You must never allow the spirit to continue to maneuver in your midst, in your presence, in your place of authority. That was the point I wanted to make, was the fact that we are called into a position of authority, and that authority is the authority was given in Genesis to the enemy when Adam disobeyed God. What he was doing was handing over to spirit realm, the negative spirit realm, the demonic spirit realm, our authority. He handed it over because Satan does not have the power to take it from us. But he does have a strategy to deceive. He has a scheme. He works in order to get us to release our authority to him or to distract us from the true authority that we have by keeping us ignorant. And so we're going to read about those spirits. But the first spirit is Jezebel, the partnership of the spirit of Jezebel. It is a ruling spirit that partners with evil powers. Remember, there was powers. They are the second ranking spirit that carries the manifestation of supernatural powers to enforce the plans of the principality. So in other words, the powers get the attention of the people, and it gets their attention deceptively. So this Jezebel spirit is a ruling spirit, part of the principalities, right? Yep, high-ranking ruling spirit, part of the principality. And she's over the mountain of media, I think, and entertainment. And so this Jezebel spirit partners with the evil powers to manifest manipulation and witchcraft, you know, making people see things and go, oh, wow, that's really something. And they attribute it to God when it is not. One of the powers of Jezebel's spirit is seduction. And seduction we always think of as a sexual enticement, whereas Jezebel's spirit is at work. There is seduction at hand, but the word seduction means to persuade or false promises, to carry out the physical seduction of. The Jezebel spirit comes with enticement to lure people away from ordained plans, purposes, and order. There is a layer of the seductive strategy of, there are layers of the destructive strategy of Jezebel. And so we want to look at the fact that there are false promises. So it's not always enticement into a sexual sin, but false promises. persuade people to disobey or be disloyal, to lead people astray, usually persuasion to carry out this. There are many layers. She doesn't, no, I don't, it, the spirit of Jezebel does not just come at you and do it, but there are layers of it. A wicked spirit that has roamed the earth for thousands of years seeking someone to entice into sin. That is her purpose. And whatever that sin is, she is the, I'm sorry, the spirit of Jezebel is the enticing spirit. It is more than the spirit of control and manipulation that many make it out to be. Jezebel is a spirit of seduction that works to woo people into immorality and idolatry. But it doesn't work alone. It has the help of false prophets, Ahab's spirit, and faithful servants. So we see that this is her draw, is your faithfulness. I want to stop calling it female because it could be a male. But the spirit of Jezebel is drawn to faithfulness. So it is your faithfulness that draws this enemy towards you. And God knew that it was going to happen, and he has set in place an authority and a ranking to overcome this. It often infiltrates the pulpit and the pews of the church. Since few see Jezebel for what it is, this spirit continues to secure the hearts and minds of those who claim Jesus as their first and true love. And this is an indication of the fact that the word says that if it were not for the times being shortened, the very elect would be deceived. One way that Jezebel seduces people is by speaking to their ambitions. And we're taught that ambition and a drive and having goals are a good thing. And I'm not saying that they're not. They are, but they have to be guarded. The scripture keeps telling us throughout scripture to guard your heart or to examine yourself, because it has to be a constant check on the level of holiness that we're walking in. And once we start to compromise, and that compromising can be not to do it, but just see it and allow it to be done. One of the interesting things I talked about the lesson, it addresses Jezebel in the church and in the family. So now you have two mountains, the mountain of religion and the mountain of family, are the targets of this spirit. And so we want to see that strategy and that scheme so that we are not manipulated by it, but we can expose it. And so one of the things that the lesson is showing to us is in family situations, there are things that exist that draw people away from what is right. And it draws people into what people want. Not what's right, but what they want. So now it's a preference thing. So that is idolatry. Me over, you know, over right. It may be like that, but, you know, this is how I see it. That's idolatry. That is a way of thinking that allows our actions to be manipulated. And so when we accept that in the people around us, in the family around us, we've often shared in this household that there are certain people we tiptoe around, certain family members we tiptoe around. And so when I was reading this, it's like we have to stop tiptoeing. We have to stop accepting, you know, that spirit of manipulation. And it may not be that they know they're manipulating, but that's what they're doing because they're allowing this Jezebel spirit to seduce them into thinking that it's okay for them to have their way, okay? So when you look at that and some of the troubles or the confusions or the situations and circumstances within families and at gatherings and particularly funerals, unfortunately, but really any gathering of family members, there's a high rate of confusion. And it always leads to somebody breaking off, deciding, you know what, let them do them, I can't do that. Yeah, okay, so I'm not going to those things, I'm just not. Now, that's not being manipulated, but is that using our gifts and authority and calling to displace that spirit within your family and within your church? And so we have to learn how, and I love the song in the beginning, the Holy Spirit will teach us to use our gifts and callings and anointings according to God's strategy. So if you're in the midst of something that's going on like that, and you have this knowledge, then you can be assured of the fact that you're part of God's plan to fix it. For God's plan to get the authority away from the enemy and put it back into the hands of his creation, man, and to bring him glory on earth. And so not just church, but family circumstances and situations. And it's the kind of thing that lead people, you know, and it's, I know it's a touchy subject, but lead people into divorce. That's one of the spirit of Jezebel is a covenant-breaking spirit. And, well, it always is interesting because, well, the Bible says this, things like that start in your mind. The spirit of Jezebel is a sexually impure spirit, and the spirit of whoredom is one of Jezebel's defiled quarters. That means there's a spirit of whoredom that Jezebel uses, okay? Jezebel is a impure spiritually, but uses the spirit of whoredom. So now we get to see that what's ranking is really two powers, principalities. It's more than just one. You think you're just up against one, but you aren't. The spirit of Jezebel partners with all of these other spirits that will help the spirit of Jezebel draw you and lure you. The whoredom of Jezebel includes prostitution, fornication, adultery, and all manner of evil sexual sins. And unfortunately, because it says evil sexual sins, how about just sexual sins, period? You mean evil? They're all evil, okay? But we compromise by saying, well, I wouldn't let evil sexual sin. No sexual sin. Any compromise of any kind is a part of the spirit of Jezebel's schemes and strategies. Because once you're used to a little thing, then the bigger things become easier to be established around us. And that's one of the things of entertainment we have, that Jezebel partners with the prince of power of the air to release constant bombardment of filthy entertainment devised to lower inhibitions and seduce people. At the heart of witchcraft and idolatry worship are impure sexual practices. So just because people aren't running around naked and, you know, having orgies, you know, in the street and whatever, or in the church or in your home. But what that is not necessarily the way it always looks. It will get to that. But as it's tearing down our moral fabric, it's one little thing at a time. And if you look at these commercials or these shows or programs, and if you just, you don't even have to look at the program. If you look at the name of the program, it's like, what is this? So all of a sudden we're in this dark world where there's witches and vampires and, you know, all of these weird creatures and things and just, you know, magic and all of this. And they bring that as entertainment. It used to be a time, I think it was like three of the silly ladies that were comedians, and they did some movie about witches or something. And they made it, you know, really funny, you know, really acceptable. They were pretty good witches, but they were still witches. And so it's things like that that get you to laugh, and it catches you off guard. But what it does is it entertains you. And when we allow that kind of thing to entertain us, then the next step, okay, you know, is going to look like, you know, them eating babies and all kind of other horrible things that they do on the television and in the movies. And so what we have to understand is Christ warned the church about allowing that Jezebel spirit to be there, to be in the midst, to grow, to chip away at holiness in people. And so when we see it in the church, we see that it is often a break of covenant. It is a fornication. It is some kind of, I want to say sexual practice. I love when they say impure sexual practice. Okay, impure sexual practice. The very act of sex itself creates a deep and lasting bond in the participant's heart, and even an emotional or mental affair can cause irreparable damage to a marriage, to a situation, to a circumstance. How many wounded people from inappropriate contact with those that should love them have used their own in the church? Maybe it's you. And so these things have been released through the spirit of Jezebel. So the spirit linked with Jezebel has defiled ministry relationships and aborted the concept of family in the kingdom. It should not be that the divorce rate within the church is as high, if not higher, than the one outside of the church. That is the spirit of Jezebel. So we up to the pit. We'll look at the three phases of the Jezebel spirit, but I don't want to have to rush through them. But I do encourage you to look at the questions in the back and ask yourself, have you experienced emotional manipulation from a Jezebel spirit? And often when we experience that, we either do one of two things, run from it or try to avoid it. The Jezebel spirit will release a multitude of curses, creating confusion and demonic swirls that must be broken with strong prayer and authority. When we hear about it, it's something we shun from, and yet the word will have us to know God has a plan for it, for us to be victorious. So have you experienced this emotional manipulation of Jezebel's spirit? And sometimes when we experience it, we laugh at it. It's like, oh, you know, they got me there. Okay? No. Nothing that is not giving glory to God should stand in our presence without us taking a stand against it. It says, do you know someone who exhibits these characteristics? But my question is, have you ever done that or allowed it to happen? Because I think that more, not so much to point finger at someone, but to open up and look within us, have I allowed that Jezebel spirit to use me? Then the other point to consider is launching out in confrontation without prayer and wisdom can lead to utter chaos. And we need to understand, if you don't have the authority, the rank, and the responsibility given to you by God, you need to find the covering that does. And so we are taught who does and who doesn't. We have the ministry of the Holy Spirit who will tell us what we need to do, what we need to know, and where we need to go. The place to begin is prayer. Ask the Lord for insight, for strength, and for wisdom. Demons only respond to firm faith and authority. And that means the demons know, because they've watched mankind, and they know when mankind is deeply rooted in the word of God, the will of God, and in the faith and the grace that God has released in their life. This is, as leaders, have you been confronted by the operation of a Jezebel spirit on some level? Have you experienced its seduction drawing you away from kingdom purposes? And that's the other thing. What it draws you from, or what it draws you to, may not seem to be anything wrong. But if it's drawing you from what God intends for you to do, then it becomes devastating. And the ministry of the Holy Spirit will reveal that. You must never allow the Spirit to continue to maneuver in your midst. The truth will set us free. And when we know the truth, we must share it. We must declare it. We must embrace it and live it, and not compromise nor allow it to be silent. So where do we begin? First, review some of the symptoms listed in this chapter of the Jezebel spirit. I was writing some things down, and the list became very interesting, things that I would not have necessarily attributed with Jezebel spirit. Ask Holy Spirit to shine his light on your own heart. Proper self-examination is key. Because a lot of times we don't see or recognize or acknowledge the presence of the Jezebel spirit, because part of that spirit is in us. And rather than self-incriminate, we will go along with it, agree with it, poof it off, decide, well, it's really not that bad, and I can, you know, I'm greater than that or better than that because I just this and that. But I think that it is something that, as we self-exam ourselves, as we put our heart in the light of the Holy Spirit, He will shine this light in our hearts, and we are able to do a proper self-examination. Pray for greater discerning of spirits and wisdom in relationships. And that's one of the things that the author shares on many occasions, that he discerned in his spirit something wasn't quite right. It didn't jump up and slap him in the head. It was just something down in him that stirred up something. And he knew from that, that's something to get his attention. And once it got his attention, he had to decide, okay, what am I supposed to do with this? What is it saying to me? And those are always awesome times of prayer and fasting. And you go into it desiring to hear from heaven. And if that is your desire, you surely will. And you will have angelic assistance in seeing and accomplishing that. Recognize the reality of the spirit realm and its impact on our life. Don't be in denial. It is real. It is a realm that is as real as our physical realm. And it's realer because it's eternal. Our physical realm is going to, at some point, not exist for anybody anymore. But the spirit realm will always be there. And so our prayer for the day is, Father, we come before you seeking purity. We do not want our lives mixed with any impure spiritual influence. Search our hearts and reveal everything that is impure. We ask that you guide us in our family, in our private life, and in our kingdom calling. Make us aware of any seducing powers of Jezebel. We come against those powers in Jesus' name and forbid their operation in our life. We claim purity over our life, and we claim wisdom and discernment in Jesus' name. Amen. So, we have on the line Elder with perhaps our screw tape assessment for this lesson. Elder.
Good morning. You know, the letter that I was reading was actually talking about letter four. I can't remember whether we finished letter four or not, but it was a brief letter talking about prayer. And I'm just trying to pull up my note here. The dangers, he was telling them the dangers of prayer. But before I go into that, I wanted to say something about something you had said in this chapter, if I may. When you were talking about the demonic partnership in the book, where it talks about what page is this? Page 77. It's kind of in the middle where it says Jezebel is more than the spirit of control and manipulation that many make it out to be. Jezebel is the spirit of seduction that works to woo people into immorality and idolatry, but it doesn't work alone. That kind of jumped out at me. And then at the beginning of the next page, it addresses mm-hmm. one sentence, which I was trying to think, how does this fit in? But at the top of page 78, where it says, one of the ways that Jezebel seduces people is by speaking to their ambitions. I get that. When the Jezebel spirit comes into a ministry, it will often entangle key leaders and people by speaking to their ambitions. It will prophesy to a key leader that, I guess, he or she should really be the senior leader. And this is the part that kind of stumped me, where it says, it will speak to the wounds in the heart of a person and validate the pain in order to gain access. And I guess I was, when it says it will speak to the wounds in the heart of a person. So just in that clause, so I'm assuming it's saying that these are valid wounds in the heart of a person and validate the pain in order to gain access. And I guess I'm kind of wondering if it is a valid wound, how would it be gaining access? Because it doesn't say anything else about that. Then it says that it can also reveal hidden desires that seem to have been forgotten. But it just seems like, for me, when I was reading it, that sentence is kind of hanging out there, and I don't know. It didn't give me any place to go with that. It will speak to the wounds of the heart of a person and validate that pain in order to get access. I'm thinking if it the person is really wounded and if it really is a valid pain, what would – how would seduction spirit
– well, I think
I don't know. Help me out with that. Because no. I'm like, what?
But you know what? When I read it, I could understand it. Well, a minute, I went, that's it. What people do, well, I've seen them come in ministry and do that. They will find the weakest person that's a leader. And you can watch people, because that's what Jezebel's spirit does, right? It watches people. And it can watch and see who's wounded in leadership. Now, it said validate a pain. Now, the thing is, the woundedness may not be validationable. Is that such a word?
In your lucky time, we'll take it.
Okay, good. So, but you got somebody that's stroking it and giving it validation. So now it's like, well, it's not just me. You know, I'm not wrong. They agree with me. Now they become a person of authority in your life because they are partnering with you in this pain. They see my pain. Yeah, they see you acting immature, and they're drawing on it. And it may be a valid immaturity, but you know, there are solutions for it. But when it said that, you could see how, first of all, when we're not honest in ministry, if something bothers you, you know, the Bible says you got to audit again a person, go to them. So obviously you haven't done that. Or you did it and you didn't like the result. In which case, again, we have to self-examine. So if I examine myself and decide, well, you know, I can see, I can remember, I can think of like 10 people. I can. And I can understand their suffering because of, and not because of them, but just because of circumstances and situations, because of personalities and because of the past. And some people are insecure, and so if you don't have a confidence, you know, there are things that people say, it's like every other thing that somebody says, you hurt your feelings, you know. So if someone comes along and say, why are they treating you like that, and then you say, well, see, there they really are, and this person gets me, I hate that commercial, you know, they get me. Well, maybe you don't need to be God, okay? Because some of the stuff is really weird. But it's like you find somebody that gets you, and they stroke you, and you wrong as two left shoes. But you will then idolize them because they make you feel better. Okay. So I can see how...
It just seemed weird, and it seemed like one little sentence stuck in there. I'm like, okay, so you could talk more about that or explain that better. But
actually, it's almost like he finished it and then go, oh, you know, let me leave that alone. They'll get it
right.
if they
it's,
get
it's,
it.
Right, you know, it just into something else, but I, you know.
Right. But, yeah, I can understand because it really stuck out for me, but in a very negative way. And it could have been, and I'll be honest with you, I was a great manipulator. Oh, my God, I was horrible. And so I recognized it. And I know, you know, the root of it.
Like Misery Loves Company? That kind of thing? No,
well,
I mean,
so
like,
much.
Really, you know, when it's saying that somebody validates it and then that's giving an opening for that spirit to come in.
Yeah.
Wrong is wrong. You ain't got to have no validation for it, please.
But it helps to be validated.
Well, you know what? Yes, it feels better to be validated. But the whole point
is it does.
It's wrong. Because it's luring you into more immorality. Because you're not in the will of God. That's the whole point. You're in flesh right now. Flesh should be crucified. And you're not going to crucify it because somebody over here say it's good, it's right, and you poor thing, and they patent it. Some people like being sick because they get attention. Some people aren't sick, but pretend to be because it gets them attention. And the person that gives them attention is going to be their friend, and the one who sees through it and speaks against it is going to be the arch enemy. Trust me. And they're not going to come nowhere near you.
Now, I have seen that in real life or whatever. I guess this, all of this is real life. But, yeah,
right.
I have seen
yeah.
I have seen that. I have seen that played out.
Yeah.
That portion.
And I think.
Did we lose you?
So
Hello? Oh,
no,
okay.
I'm here. Yeah, I'm here.
I thought the phone disconnected.
No, I think it's a wonderful, you know, comment. And it's good to pull out stuff like that, you know, because that's the part that is being revealed to us. And as leaders, we need to understand that. Because sometimes we may ask, why? What are they doing? What's wrong with them? You ever ask, what's wrong with them? Some demonic spirit, and I always say I don't want to know, or like I don't understand. I don't want to understand. I want to know. Okay, but there are. That's because if I understand, will I go along with you? And it's not right, because that means I'm thinking like you're thinking. I want to think.
You can
like
understand. You can understand a person's point, but you don't have to agree with it.
Well, that's where you can entertain the spirit of Jezebel. I understand where you are. Do you understand it because it's in line with the word of God? Or do you understand it because it is flesh and you're familiar with the response of flesh? In which case, if it's flesh, you do not want to attach your understanding to that. One of the things that the author shared was the fact that Jezebel, spirit of Jezebel, uses compassion against God's people. Because they will say, just like the person here, you're not having compassion. No, I know what compassion means when God tells me to have it. And that's not it. But if you get people to believe that, well, you know, you got to be compassionate and you got to, you know, and you're a person is not, then according to man's definition, it doesn't look compassionate. So then they will attack the person that really is using godly compassion because it don't look like that. So that is one of the issues that one of the ministries of the Holy Spirit who will teach you the song says, you teach me, you know, what I need to know. And not, you know, I lean not to my own understanding or to the understanding of other people. Because even when other people tell me, Holy Spirit is going to affirm what I need to be taught from that. Some of the stuff I need to say, some of the stuff I do not. So even when we get to a place where we don't even want our ears to hear some stuff, you know, I don't want to hear it. No. It doesn't matter. No. And it really doesn't. Because unless it's in line with the word of God and his will today, then it's going to be extra stuff that gets in the way of us doing what God wants us to do. So some things we don't need to hear because some things we can't handle hearing them. We're going to process them the only way we know how, which isn't always the best way. You know, I think a lot of times that things happen and we would just say, well, you know, I would just say, let's pray. You know, or let's go find somebody that I know can pray, that will intercede and can get a word to the Lord. You know, and I want to say not to be safe, but to be or just to be more effective, to be in the plan of God's way. Because there's a lot of things we could do that God tells us to do, but he didn't tell us to do it today. So we should do it.
And that's let me hear, Lord, only what you want me to hear and set a guard over my mouth and a watch over my tongue. And that's what he's been teaching me.
Right. And also minister, okay, my ears. Teach my ears to hear your voice and not a stranger. And a stranger doesn't mean a person I don't know. But someone that's strange to—they're a stranger to your will for me today. They're not a stranger. I know who they are. That's my mother, or that's my daughter, or that's my sister, my brother, or whatever, my daddy. Okay, but they are a stranger to your will for my life today because they don't know it. So I can't follow what they're saying, and so I think that the depth of the relationship God is establishing with his leaders is one from his heart to their ear. You know, there's nothing in between. You know, that's why the song says, you know, I have you, I don't need anyone else. You teach me, because what he's saying is not that the Lord won't send someone to teach them, but what he's saying is, or singing, I guess it's, I don't know what it is. But what the person, the artist is saying is, the Holy Spirit is going to let me know what it is I need to know. He's also going to let me know who it is I need to listen to.
Wouldn't that be counter to, like, if you already know somebody is coming with some kind of nonsense, I'm not saying it's not true or whatever, but you say if you know the situation, wouldn't just kind of shutting them down with, like, okay, I mean, because there have been situations where you say, okay, it don't really matter what it is, you know, or what happened. We need to move forward this way because this is what the word says. But don't you have the danger of alienating that person where you can't even, I mean, as a Christian, even being able to have a conversation with them because, like, you're dismissing it. I mean, even though you may know it's, I don't want to say nonsense, I just can't think of another word.
Right.
But even though you may know it is something that is not beneficial, but that you need to hear, and then let the sense of discernment in you, you know, kind of like eat the fish and spit out the bones type of analogy for, because it seems like if you're not listening, because a lot of times it seems like you already know, I don't know, I can't even put it into words,
that you already know
that maybe it's a negative situation. And so somebody's coming to you and you're trying to talk to them about that, but, you know, you, or maybe I put it this way, everything that I read always talks about you need to validate people's feelings, you need to listen, you need to restate what they've said, and then you need to show them what the Word of God says based on whatever they've said to you. You know, you're combating it, but you're giving the other side of that this is what thus says the Lord. But I'm just thinking that when we just come and say, hey, boom, 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 thus says the Lord, a lot of times we lose the people because they feel like we haven't heard their story or haven't given them an opportunity to share. I don't know if that's really making sense, but it's just like,
yeah, it makes
when
sense.
I read this in conjunction of reading a lot of stuff on counseling and stuff, it kind of sounds like this is kind of saying, shut them down if you know that it's not of God. And sometimes it's truly valid, you know, I mean, so I'm not saying everything is not of God, you know, the situation they're going through. But
I think that's wonderful. But you gave the best clue, because you said it's counseling. So if you're a counselor, you got to do that, okay? But you have to know where your authority is. You have to know who you are and what office you're working in. And there are some offices that most of us don't have, that we will sit and entertain what people are saying. And that's what I'm addressing. Not if that's your office, not if you're trying to evangelize someone. That's not a response to have. This is a response to have to the saints that are in places or releasing something, okay, that does not need to be released. And so not necessarily, you know, it's not like I'm not listening to you. And the thing is, when this happens, and I should qualify it, you're listening to the Holy Spirit. You're listening to what he says. Now, if you're the pastor and you, you know, but I'm talking about people that own the telephone. You know, and y'all are all just chee-chopping about the things that happen at church and just, you know, that type of thing. I should have qualified what I said. Or a situation that's going on in the church. And you know that that's where it's going because, first of all, the Holy Spirit will tell you. And so we are learning now to have an ear to hear what God's heart is saying. And you'll know. And when you know and you share that, or you choose not to share what they're saying, they will know. Because God is going to make sure that they do. Because when you do that, you're going to share some truth with them that is what they need to put on, I was going to say the lie, but the circumstance or the situation that they're concerned about. Give them that truth. Because otherwise, you're going to be in a debate. They're going to tell you, then you're going to tell them, and then you, and that's not counseling. That's totally different. A counselor is trained to, you know, take words and do stuff with it, and, you know, which is why we need to all be trained to be a counselor, to be an evangelist, whatever it is, you need to be trained so you know how to do it. And part of all of that is listening. It really is listening.
And a lot of times, overseer, if I have spoke with someone and it's a private thing, I heard them out. And then if they ask me for the truth, I say, okay, I don't know. I don't need to know all of your stuff. But the truth according to God's word. And if they really listened, and I gave them the scripture, then they went with that.
Is that you knew you didn't need to hear it. That's what I'm saying. There's a, and the Holy Spirit will let you know that. Oh, no, I don't need to hear that. No, no. You know, or people will lead with something that, well, maybe I shouldn't say this, then don't. I mean, let's pray, okay? Or let's look at, you know, whatever. And I know that there obviously every situation is different. And you have to be led by the ministry of the Holy Spirit. You really, really, really do. He will tell us what to say and how to say it and what to do. And so I want to be clear that when I share things, I'm thinking scenarios, but I may not be sharing those scenarios. And so I thank you, Elder. Thank you, all of you, you know, giving your perspective, because each one that gave a perspective has a different calling on their life, each one. And that's why we are a body fitly joined together.
Can I make one more comment? It's
absolutely
a really short one. On that same page at the bottom, it says, and even an emotional or mental affair can cause irreparable damage to a marriage. And I just wanted to add, and to other future relationships.
Yeah.
You know, when it goes down, it talks about, it's on page 78, like right at the bottom. But where it says, the very act of sex itself creates a deep and lasting bond in the participant's heart. And then it goes on to say, and even an emotional or mental affair can cause irreparable damage to a marriage. And I think, not only to a marriage, because I haven't been married, but to other relationships, other healthy relationships, that sometimes, you know, you hear people talk about soul ties, and you know, I understand. I think I understand it on both sides of the fence. Like, yeah, they are, and yeah, they're not. You know, that there are ways to break those things, but I do believe that. And I would assume that might be the spirit of Jezebel working in those situations where an analogy would be kind of like an earworm. When you hear a song, something you can't get out of your head, that you can be in a relationship and out of that relationship for years. But it seems to be there's just a little root or a little something that you just can't get out of your soul, man. Because I don't really think it's in your spirit, man, but in your soul, man, that kind of lingers. And, you know, and I think because it was an unholy and unhealthy, you know, attachment.
Yes, yes. And that's another thing when you were speaking that I was reminded of. Oftentimes when you hear something that someone is saying that you don't need to hear, it is opening a portal into you, because it will, as I said, that it can search your soul, and it may know. Remember, the spirit has, the devil spirit has been watching. So they know our buzzwords, because they've seen us respond to them in other situations and circumstances. And so they can use people to come and drop that buzzword and get our...
Right, and trigger us.
Yeah, exactly. And then now we messed up again. Okay, you thought you were delivered. And so that is another reason, some things you just don't want to hear. You don't want to open your spirit up to that. You know, and the Holy Spirit knows that. He knows when the enemy comes with that strategy. So when he gives you that to say, it's because it's what's best for right now and that person. And again, all of this is predicated on the ministry of the Holy Spirit. All of this, everything in this book is predicated on our relationship with the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Because without him, we cannot do it. That's why Christ told his disciples, go and wait. Don't do anything. Wait till the Holy Spirit comes.
Amen.
And that's why when they went through in the book of Acts, they went through laying on their hands for the people to receive the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And when they found out a group had been baptized but had not, they went there to lay hands to give, you know, for them to receive the power of the Holy Spirit. Yep, yep, yep. Good lesson. Good lesson. Good insight, too. Good insight. I'm appreciative of seeing the spirit of Jezebel other than just a sexual seducer, you know, but the different, you know, the fact that she does, that the spirit of Jezebel is attracted to people's ambitions and how, so we can see certain people. You may not think, but they have the spirit of Jezebel. Like, used to be a president. And so you see it much clearer. I don't want to say different, but clearer. You know, it's a principality that's over nations, peoples, and regions. Just as the apostles has the authority over people, places, and its regions. Nation. Amen. Amen. Anybody else? Okay. Well, we will complete. Yes, ma'am?
No, I just said great insight. Just learn more.
Yeah, me too. Absolutely. I learn more than you guys, trust me. I really do. I am grateful. So we enjoy our Friday fellowship. God bless you. God bless you. And we'll see you, let's see, tomorrow I think we got a strategy meeting. We got a whole bunch of stuff going on all month long. So check your email from Elder Sharita to keep updated with everything. And obey, embrace, and know the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Have a good day, everybody.
Amen. Enjoy your weekend.
Amen. Yes, love you.
Yeah. Okay. Okay.